May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. God chose you for this ministry. And you were chosen before you could think or talk or eat or help another person. You were chosen before you knew what the Bible was, or the Book of Common Prayer even, or what a deacon was. But God knew. Michael, Fran, Mike, and Lucian, God knew you. God loved you, and God called you to this ministry. And God loved you steadily through all the twists and turns of your life and vocation between that moment of call and today. And while some of you have had more twists and turns than others, none of you has had a perfect straight shot at ordination. And the rest of us here today, too, God knew you, and God has called you. Perhaps not to the diaconate, to a different life, a different ministry, but do not think if you are here in this room that you have not been called. God knows you, God loves you, and God has a purpose for your life. And the four who are being ordained today have so many gifts. And the church and the world is going to be so blessed, and already is so blessed, by the work and ministry that you do and you will do. You are extraordinary servants of the Lord Jesus. You are terrific and radiant. I choose those words deliberately. In our office a week or two ago, one of the members of diocesan staff said something about someone else in the room and said that they were, I can't remember if it was both the words terrific and radiant or just one of them. And in one of those moments where your mind goes on a journey that you think is completely obvious, but that you realize upon reflection is totally obscure for anyone who does not happen to live in your brain, I blurted out, "You're some pig." Now, those of you who are laughing are obviously familiar with the children's book Charlotte's Web and remember it. Those of you who are not laughing are like those who were in the room that day, who were horrified that the bishop had just called someone a pig. The story of a spider, Charlotte, who wrote messages in her web to save the life of the pig Wilbur, begins with her writing in the web, "Some pig." And then next she writes, "terrific," and then "radiant." So to say that they were some pig really was meant as a compliment, though I can see how it could be interpreted otherwise. But in Charlotte's web, the last word on a web, the last one that Charlotte offers in her sort of self-emptying kenosis before she dies, when they're at the fair where Wilbur will win a prize that saves his life. After all the adulation he has received for being some pig, terrific, and radiant, the word she writes is humble. In one of the most beautiful prayers in the Book of Common Prayer, after laying hands on each person being ordained to the diaconate, I will shortly pray, "Make them, O Lord, modest and humble, strong and constant, to observe the discipline of Christ." It is one of the great paradoxes of the ordained ministry and life. You are very called. You are, if I may say so, some deacon. You are terrific and radiant. But also, with our eyes on today's gospel reading, we are called to remember that we are striving always at our most faithful, not to be the greatest, but to be one who serves. Which for some of us is harder than others. But the ordained and vowed life is nothing, if nothing else, is an invitation to sacred humility. if we accept that invitation. The world assumes that humility and humiliation are the same. You are not called to a life of humiliation. And we laugh at that, but all too often it happens, right? We are not called to live humiliation, but we are called to live in humility and to be humble. The world assumes that we glorify power and pride and count as less worthy somehow the labor of service, the labor of stepping back and of raising up others. But true humility is not denying our gifts or saying that we have nothing to offer or denigrating ourselves. Humility is knowing that we are some deacon, terrific and radiant, and that we use those gifts and skills to point to Jesus and not to ourselves. To be humble is to notice things, is to notice the widow and the orphan and the person in need, and to reach out to them as equals, not that top-down mindset of charity that I who have am going to help the one who has less, but to reach out as siblings of Christ to say, how can I serve you? To be humble is to look at the vast chasm between the kingdom of God, as Jesus describes it, and the world around us, and to know that we are not capable of fixing everything, but that we are blessed with the ministry of working to our utmost on the portion that has been given to us. And those of us who are ordained are not just called to humility, we have vowed it. Make us, O Lord, modest and humble. Now, it's possible that you have met some clergy who are not humble. It's possible that there are, even now, deacons and priests and bishops, surely not bishops, who work to serve themselves and not the Lord Jesus. We live in a broken world. But I suspect for all of us, there is in us a recognition of the terror of that young Jeremiah. Ah, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak. Often we do not know what we are doing. And it is only through the voice of God and the mercy of Jesus that we are gifted with the capacity to speak, to teach, to serve, to love. And it is because of that mercy of God and the gifts that God gives us, as Paul writes to the church in Corinth, that we do not lose heart. And the ministry of the diaconate is a ministry of the heart. We are called to love in such a way that the light of Christ will shine and give some illumination to a struggling world. We are called to love again and again when everything in us says we should just give up or be apathetic or even hate. We do not lose heart. So you are terrific and radiant and humble, and in your blessed hearts, you are each some deacon. Amen.